Now, I'm joined in the studio with Brian Lim. He's a man of many hats. He's a license holder for the TEDx Ultimo series of events that are held in, obviously, Ultimo in Sydney. He's with the Fish Burner Charity. He's the IT manager and consultant there. He's a lecturer at the University of Technology, Sydney, and we'll let him tell you in a moment about what he does there. And also, he is the chief executive officer and founder of Think and Tinker, which is working to develop new business opportunities leveraging from the space industry. And he's also was between 2010 and 2011 with Cisco Systems, team leader and pre-sales development. Welcome to the space show, Brian.
Oh, thank you very much, Andrew.
What brings you to Melbourne today?
Oh, you know, just the fine weather down here, avoiding the rain of Sydney.
Yes, it's been we've been quite lucky the last week or so. Well, okay, Brian, what are your professional interests? We went through some of your CV there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really am interested in the concept of space entrepreneurship. Ever since I finished my time at the International Space University, I really saw a lot of opportunity there. And I've been working very hard since to leverage the technologies I see in the other areas of technology startups and accounting, finance, and so forth to potentially create a space entrepreneurship community. And that's really where I've placed all my energy towards, really, at this point. It may sound funny considering I have so many on my table, but that's really where I started. And I'm building all these things around it to try and make it work.
Now, we've had stories about the Space University on the show before, but many people listening may not have heard those. What is the Space University?
The International Space University is international university that teaches people about the space industry. It's a multicultural, multidisciplinary, and international course that you can participate in, and you learn. I think the best description would be the basics of the space industry, what it takes, what its needs, what's requirements for you to begin a career in that area.
And the people taking the lectures, if you want to call it mm-hmm. that, are experienced in that industry?
Yes, very much so. They're all from all over the world. They're highly accredited in their fields. I would say that I think they were better than what I expected, really, in sincerity. You would, any university student will look at them and go like, why am I even sitting here?
And this is held in different locations around the world.
Yes.
In different years. Mm-hmm. So your year, where did you go?
I was in the 2013 batch, and that was actually held in Adelaide in South Australia.
Oh, right. So you didn't have far to travel then.
Oh, definitely. Very lucky for me.
Mm. Okay. Now, Australia has just a few months ago released a satellite utilization policy, mm-hmm. sometimes referred to incorrectly as a space policy. What's your reaction to that?
When I was reading the satellite utilization policy, it was very clear to me that it represents the beginnings of a unified space front in Australia. A lot of work, upon reading it, indicated to me that it was really trying to find out where all the players were, what were they all up to, what was the current objectives they were tying to, and trying to create a consensus around where does the industry want it to go. In that sense, I see it more as a stepping stone to something bigger.
Mm. And will it affect your activities?
No, I don't think it will affect my activities per se. A lot of what I've been planning has indicated that where the industry is going to go in the future versus where it is currently. I believe that space entrepreneurship is going to be a major part of the Australian space economy in the next decade or two. And the policies right now indicate to me that it actually will happen in a very roundabout fashion.
So this entrepreneurship is happening as part of government or separate from government?
So the government has a very large push for innovation and tech entrepreneurship across Australia. And I'm heavily involved in that sector as well. Now, what happens here is that the government is constantly looking for new and more innovative ways and new technologies to grow the Australian economy. And they are happy to look at space technology if you can prove that it is a viable part of growing the Australian economy.
Now, what would you like to see Australia do in space, and anything in particular that's not in the policy that you think should have been?
Well, the Australian space policy doesn't demonstrate any discussions around space mining or space tourism. Now, we all know Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic will be taking passengers soon. Space Adventures has been taking people to space for a while now, and Elon Musk has SpaceX is basically lowering the cost to orbit very quickly.
And X-Core, of course, is in the running as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. No, and I think that going forward, that Australia has a major part to play in all of these things. So I guess the space tourism is something going to be really big coming forward. There will be opportunities for Australians to participate in the space tourism industry, for certain. And going forward, space mining is definitely one of the things on the table. I really think that the government or ourselves should really be encouraging innovation, entrepreneurship, and thought leadership in the space industry. We are very technically skilled, and we're very capable, and we need to be able to bring that kind of knowledge to other places and other industries in Australia.
Now, you mentioned space mining. What does that involve?
Well, the idea currently is, you know, there are a lot of asteroids floating around Earth, and we would love to be able to go up to them, find out what they're made of, and bring some of those materials home. So people are looking for things like water, platinum, gold, uranium, and these asteroids, and hoping that they'll provide enough materials to supply our demands and needs in the future.
Yeah, so what, asteroids are not just pieces of rock?
Yeah, well, everything is a piece of rock if you think about it. Even the Earth is just a giant piece of rock.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking that you've got stony meteorites, and you've also, or asteroids, and you've also got ones which are made of metal, the metallic ones. So there's a fair chance then that we'd better get a decent amount of these materials from an asteroid.
Yes. So there's some discussions going on that saying that there's asteroids out there that have more platinum in it than all the platinum that was ever mined on the Earth to date.
Well, and that would be fairly easy to get to then, wouldn't it?
I think fairly easy is
a relative term. Yes. So you'd be in favour of the NASA plan that they've announced to go and capture a small asteroid and bring it into a sort of cislunar orbit?
It's definitely one of the first things that need to be done for this to happen. If we're going to try and mine any kind of asteroids, we don't want to send our people, robots, into an asteroid that eventually leaves our solar system. So I would really think that it is the correct approach, and to actually create a space mining industry in the world.
You wouldn't go out there and just get the iron because, I mean, we've got billions of tons of the stuff here in Australia. So you're looking for those rarer things you've just mentioned.
Yes, that's right.
What policies would be required for that to happen?
The policies. Well, I think the first policy really that the government should be focusing on is to encourage Australians to take a more thought leadership and leadership role in what is happening around them. If we were to enter the space industry, we need to become our own thought leaders, our own visionaries for where Australia can go. And funding these projects, either through current grants like the Australian Space Research Grant or seeking alternative fundings from other departments such as the education or commercialization Australia, would be a valuable opportunity going forward in actually achieving this result.
Now, I should point out we're talking with Brian Lim, a Sydneysider, and he's got lots of ideas about how Australia should become involved in space. Now, where should the funding for all this come from? From private industry, from government, or a mix?
I believe that actually private industry will provide the majority of the funding coming forward. All the statistics indicate that the government funding is drying up for space, but commercial entities are footing the bill now. They're actually trying to go forward and make things happen. So I would see any effort by the entrepreneurs and the commercial sector to be the most important, The government has placed a lot of grants in place already that we could turn around and take advantage of. So in New South Wales, there's Innovate New South Wales, an organization dedicated to helping creating innovation, and they're happy to look at space technology. There's also things like Commercialization Australia, which focuses on building commercial entities to help grow the Australian economy. And they're very happy to provide support and logistics to help space companies get off the ground.
Now, how do you see your involvement evolving over the next decade? That's your own personal involvement in this?
I see myself really as the person who's going to be generating the innovation in the space industry, not from a technical sense, but more from venture capital or business sense. Now, I've spent a lot of time and energy trying to understand what needs to be done in the space industry here in Australia. And my conclusion is that we need to create a community of space entrepreneurs in Australia to actually create businesses. It's great things to do is to like train the kids. They get really excited. But if they can't fulfill on those dreams and ambitions over the next 20 or 30 years of their life, then it's all going to be for nothing. So I'm really focusing on really raising public interest by education and kids and the public about opportunities. I met easily 100 plus people who have actually said, I would love to be involved in space. I just don't know how. I'm speaking with venture capitalists and other people in the business about how to fund space projects, how to create business models that will de-risk investing in space projects and make it into a viable investment class for the investor to consider and invest in. I'm also talking to entrepreneurs about the opportunities in the sector and really trying to nut out how we can take the mythology and the thinking that has made the tech startup scene such a massive thing this today and bring it to the space industry. And really also trying to talk with all the corresponding and current space players in the industry locally to try and provide support.
Over the past 30 years here in Australia, we've seen heaps of people, industry and so on, with a handout to the government saying, give us the money and we'll do these wonderful things. And of course, the government never gives them the money. So you're pointing towards the future where if the government sets the policy conditions right, that private industry, capital ventures and so on, can come in and do these things and at the same time make a buck from it.
Very much so. I think actually the government policy will be nearly secondary in this regard. A good example in this scenario would be like, say, Google or Facebook. Both the industries came up and the government had absolutely no idea how to legislate for it in the early days. And I believe that the space industry going forward will be in a very much a similar situation. The policies won't be able to cover or explain what is actually happening. And there'll be this gap in the market for several years in terms of policy. And that will be a massive opportunity for space companies to flourish because it's almost in the equivalence of unregulated.
Now, are there any emerging employment opportunities in the space industry sector?
I would say that in the coming decades, there's obviously an opportunity in space mining. There's a lot of people here who have extremely good mining expertise. In fact, we're the number one in terms of mining technology in the world. And there will definitely be a demand to convert our skill set from mining rocks from the ground to be mining in space. Space tourism is also around the corner. And there's a lot of discussions about where else will there be spaceports around the world. And it doesn't take much for anyone to realize that Australia would definitely be on the cards for a spaceport or two in the future. And that means Australians going to space is quite a strong reality. I also see there's a lot of opportunities now in the commercialization of space technology for other markets. I've actually been talking to a few people about it, and they seem really keen on that idea. And, you know, there are two startups in the US I just want to make a quick mention of. One is called Skybox, which is sending high-definition video camera satellites to orbit to actually monitor the Earth. And the other is called Earthcast, which is about putting a high-definition camera on the International Space Station to record everything as it goes by. And what they really are doing is they're providing a very unique data set about what is happening on the Earth. And a lot of people have been talking to me of how we can sit down and take this information and create new business opportunities around it. And Australia is one of the best people at this kind of technology set, and I believe that will give us a great opportunity going forward to actually capitalize on this chance.
Now, organizations like Google, which you've referred to, they offer the Google Lunar X Prize. And Ansari offered the prize that's now morphed into, say, the Virgin Galactic type of thing. Are those sorts of competitions helpful in this area?
Most definitely. I mean, if you look at the Ansari X Prize, it may be a $10 million prize, but $180 million was spent in R&D to try and chase to win the prize by the various competitors. So it creates an enormous amount of research to actually capitalize on the opportunity. In fact, and while Bert Rattan, Scale Composites, we did win the competition, all the other competitors who developed technology has actually taken this technology and capitalized it and placed it in other markets, which have created its own growth in its own way. Just because it didn't win the competition doesn't mean it's not creating new opportunities in itself.
Yes, that's something that a lot of people don't realize, is that the money spent on space is actually spent on Earth, and it has so many applications in other areas, and it infuses right through society. Mm. Would you like to mention a couple of things that, like that?
Well, I mean, let's look at some of the classic stuff. I mean, polarizing sunglasses was, to my understanding, technology from NASA. When astronauts had to go out, they needed a visor to work in the sun without impairing their vision, so they were inventing polarized filters for them, and they've converted to the sunglasses we all enjoy today. We're looking at other technologies. For example, one of the technologies that's quite recent is called a cool gas generator. So the cool gas generator basically stores gas in a powdered form, and it can be stored for 20, 30 years in long-term storage. And this is great for satellites. Now, where can we take this technology and put it into other markets is anyone's guess. You know, it's there's a big question mark on the opportunities, and everybody is working hard to find opportunities like that.
Hmm. Now, looking through the list of things you're involved in, I mean, most people would be happy with one thing on this list, and you've got heaps of them. Could you tell us what TEDx is? Some people may have seen it on Big Ideas on ABC TV, but what is TEDx?
So, first, TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, and it is a yearly conference that's held in the U.S., bringing ideas worth sharing to life, and everyone shares something amazing. TEDx Ultimo is what you could call is a license equivalent. It's an independently organized TED-like event that allows us to find the great speakers in Australia who's actually out to do amazing things and give them an opportunity to share their ideas with the world. And I went and requested for the license because I've seen so many incredible ideas and opportunities out there, and they just don't have a platform to share them. So I sat down and says, hey guys, could I get this license? Could I provide a platform for all these amazing people? And they said yes.
Okay. And you're involved in a charity called Fishburner.
Yes. So Fishburners, and I should explain the name a little bit, actually is named after the Fishburn, which was the supply ship in the First Fleet that colonized Australia.
Okay.
And, you know, it provided the shovels, the dirt, the seeds to grow Australia. So Fishburners is a tech co-working space in Sydney, Australia. We're the largest in Australia currently. And we provide opportunities, resources for the tech startup community to actually grow and foster. So we believe that we are creating the new entrepreneurs, the new economic growth of Australia, and this is why we've chosen the name Fishburners.
Okay, wonderful. And you're a lecturer at University of Technology, Sydney?
Yes, that's right.
And what do you lecture in?
I teach computer infrastructure. So I literally teach people how to keep the internet running. So right now you're in front of a computer, you know, surfing the internet. There's a vast array of infrastructures behind the scenes for the servers, the routers, the switches, and all the little odds and ends that make the internet work. And I teach those subjects at the university.
Ah, so your students are to blame for the worldwide weight. Okay. Think and Tinker.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, Think and Tinker is a company I started because I saw the opportunity in the space industry. So I decided that I needed a vehicle in order to carry out my activities in. And so Think and Tinker is primarily focused on finding space technology that we can commercialize in other markets. We're looking for interesting and new space ideas and technologies that have applications on the ground. Now, some of it will be very obvious, some of it won't be. But we believe that there's an opportunity there and we're working hard to actually find a way to make it all happen.
Well, thank you, Brian, for joining us on the Smash Show this evening.
Oh, thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Brian Lim from Sydney.